I suppose it's possible that the direction of my thinking this morning has something to do with the fact that I knew we'd have with us today a representative from Gideon's International. I knew, Bob, that I would have someone, at least one, who agreed with me about the living Word of God. Several other circumstances this week have confirmed to me that today is a day ordained by God for the people of God to affirm together that we live by the living Word of God. When I say that, I don't just mean, and I don't even primarily mean, that we live in mere external compliance with the commands of Scripture, you know, that we've aligned our external behaviors with what we see as God's rules, though I want our behavior to reflect God's character. But rather, there is a stirring in my heart that we affirm together, that we sort of rehearse together as a congregation, that we remind ourselves and maybe even relearn together that there is something about the Scriptures that is that I wish I had words already. That is divine, that is living, that is alive, and even more than that is life-giving, life-producing. Scriptures themselves testify to their own living and active nature. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. And the next verse indicates that the result of the living Word of God is that everything is shown for what it is. The truth is revealed. That our lives and the lives of others are ultimately shown either to be absent of or filled with honor towards God. This living Word does its active work, and then nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered. Everything is laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Jesus speaks about the life-imparting quality of this living Word when He says, and by the way, He says it in the face of incredible temptation, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word. Man lives on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Did you get that? Man lives on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Moses proclaims that when he preaches one last time to the children of Israel before they enter the promised land, Deuteronomy chapter 32, he has said to them, recited to them the words of God, and he says, these are not just idle words for you. These are not just mere words. They're not just empty words. They are your life. They are your life. By them you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. I'm just taken by that this morning, and I already know I'm sort of fighting for the words to express it to you. All I know is that when I think about it, biblical words about the living Word of God fill my heart and mind, and I'm compelled to tell you this morning, we live by the living Word of God. I love what Isaiah says about the Word of God in chapter 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. Aren't you glad the Lord has some better thoughts than the ones you've got? You know, you operate on your own, and every once in a while somebody needs to say to you, how's that working for you? I'm glad the Lord's had a few thoughts I haven't thought of yet. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Listen to this. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it, return to heaven, without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. This word that proceeds from the mouth of God is life-giving. It produces abundance. It produces fruitfulness. It produces fertility. It produces plenty. I love how God says it. It produces seed for the sower and bread for the eater. It fills up what we lack for today and it supplies for tomorrow as well. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. It shall not return to me empty. See, what I'm talking about is a living Word of God that is a force to be reckoned with. It's a powerful force. Ultimately, Scripture says it's an unstoppable force. It will accomplish what I desire. It will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And here's some good news. What will be the result as the purposes of God are accomplished? Let's continue reading in Isaiah 55. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. I love the encouragement that Joshua receives as he faces the daunting task of leading Israel into the promised inheritance. And you'll just have to pardon my archaic language, but I memorized this years ago from the King James Version. I can't say it any other way. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Why? For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. How many of you could use a little more good success? Book of Psalms makes promises like these. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is what? Let's go ahead, say it with me. In the law of the Lord. And in His law doth he meditate day and night. And what will be the result? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light for my path. Have I mentioned this yet this morning? There's life in the Word of God. The Word of God provides a foundation for living. It provides wise boundaries for living. The Word of God offers motivation for living. The Word of God points us to power for living. The Word of God, Jesus says, on good soil yields a harvest 100 times. Everybody say 100 times. 100 times more than was sown. I love that parable, the parable of the sower. Sometimes we call it the parable of the soils. Must be a pretty significant parable. It shows up in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I spent a lot of time this week tempted to talk to you about parables and how they work and how Jesus used parables and how we get our best understanding of parables. And you probably ought to be glad, I suppose, that I decided not to dump all that on you. Though I am thinking it didn't make a great Bible University class, 13 weeks, 13 parables of Jesus. Might get to that this fall. The bottom line for me is this: the wonder of the parable of the soils, and you know that parable. The farmer went out to sow his seed. Some of it fell on the road. It was tramped down by the birds and ate it. Others fell on the gravel. It sprouted but withered because it didn't have good roots. Other seed fell in the weeds. The weeds grew with it and strangled it. Other seed fell in rich earth and produced a bumper crop. Produced a bumper crop. The wonder of the parable of the soils, and I'd argue for this if I had time, but I don't. The wonder of the parable of the soils is not really the condition of the soil, or that the seed risks being tramped down or snatched away, or that the weeds grow in the garden. The most wonderful, delightful, fascinating, promise of the parable of the soil is this seed that when planted in good soil produces a bumper crop 100 times more than was sown. Jesus has to clue the disciples in on what the parable means, and I love what's recorded in Luke chapter 8, verse 11. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. Now, Jesus goes on to give some other points of reference, but, you know, kind of at the risk of blasphemy or telling the Lord what He ought to say or whatever, I almost want to say that's really all you need to know. The seed is the Word of God. This entity, this thing, this item that can produce in my life a bumper crop, 100 times more than was sown. Seed for the sower and bread for the eater. The thing that accomplishes that is nothing less than the living Word of God. You've got a gold mine for abundant, prosperous, bountiful, fulfilling living right under your nose. And the truth is, most of us will wear out 12 remotes before we wear out one good Bible. There you go, Pastor. There you go. I knew you were going to beat me up on that sooner or later. Well, I know some of you aren't happy unless I've beat you up. Oh, you sure beat us to a pulp today, Pastor. That was good. But I don't care how you take it. Listen to me. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to tell you where the bread of life is found. I'm here to tell you where God has recorded the story of His love for humanity and His plans for you and the story of our redemption through Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you that your life, hear me now, your life is going to be spent some way. It's going to be invested somehow. It's going to be expended somewhere. And as we've said in recent weeks, there are lots of people out there with lots of ideas and lots of agenda for you and your life and your gift and your energy. I see a lot of people chasing a lot of nonsense with their lives. Some of it in the name of faith, even. You know what? There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. I'm telling you that your life is going to be expended after some pursuit, some set of goals, some set of priorities, but Jesus came that you might have life, and that life, that more abundant life, is going to be found in fellowship with Jesus Christ, the giver of life. It's going to be found in the Holy Spirit, our empowerment for life, and it's going to be found in God's living Word, our revelation for life. I know some of you need to hear this because I know you don't get it yet because I don't see your faces on Sunday morning at Bible University. Pastor, you know I hate to get up early on Sunday mornings. 9 o'clock? Nine? Listen, oh, I'll be in trouble with this. Most of you are up chasing the false god mammon every other morning by 6 or 7 o'clock. And what's He ever done for you but ask for more? I'm just telling you. I'm not talking about, you know, bibliolatry. I'm not talking about revering a book in some idolatrous fashion. I'm not telling you to get locked up or hung up on some particular translation. Listen, one of the things that bugs me is when people, I'm not saying this is some, you know, some mantra, and I get a little peeved when people act like Scripture is some sort of just magical incantation whereby if we just quote it right or repeat it often enough, we'll conjure God up into acting on our behalf. But I am telling you that the Bible is like no other written or recorded resource for your life. All Scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And when you neglect God's Word, when you ignore God's Word, when you reject God's Word, when you disregard God's Word, you do so to your own loss, at your own peril. Hear, O Israel. We like to quote it. Do you know the Shema? Somebody asked me the other day. Yes. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. But do you know where the passage goes from there? These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. I want to let my kids make their own decisions about faith. Wrong. Stupid. Stupid is not in my notes. I should just stick to my notes. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk. My kids used to get so irritated with me. They'd fuss at the table and I'd make them quote Scripture. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. How many of you think your dinner table would be a better place if you just embrace God's Word on that little note right there? These commandments, look, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength. Yes, everybody says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Sound like it just ought to be all over the place. When the Lord your God brings you into the land He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give you, a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, and houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, and wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. We get our Christianese on and we forget where we came from and we forget what got us there. Fear the Lord your God. Serve Him only. Take your oaths in His name. Whereas the New Testament letter to Timothy says it, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I just stand before you this morning knowing that there's life in the Word of God. And I don't care how you get it. If you're a reader, you know, printed page. If you're a listener, the Bible on CD, MP3, whatever. But if we get it right, these are not just empty words. This is your life. This is your life. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I made a little shot at you about Bible University, but you know what? We get together and think of this. We study God's Word. Oh, that's a novel thought for people who say there's life in that Word. Maybe we ought to gather and study it a little bit. Some of you haven't plugged into a powerhouse yet where people who love the Word of God talk about how to live out the Word of God on a daily basis. Now, I'm not here just to push a bunch of church programs, but I'm telling you, there's life here and you got to get a hold of it somehow. Leave the stupid TV off in the morning. You can do without the Today Show for a few minutes until you've opened up your Bible. What they've got to say isn't going to change for the 2 hours they're on. You can catch it later. Everybody still love Jesus? How many hours, men, are you going to spend watching basketball this weekend? How many hours are you going to spend? Now watch it. I see some of the ladies saying, yeah, that's right, that's right. Well, there's HGTV on there too. What is that, House and Garden Channel, you know? My wife likes that stuff. Oh, I like to watch some. Oh, I don't like that color. That's no good. All right, look, I should just stick to my notes. But there's something here, buddy. You know that. There's life here. There is life for the people. You got to get a hold of it somehow. you drag into heaven by the skin of your teeth, it'll be because you chose to drag in that way. You better hope you stand the pull. I just wonder, I'm wondering what place the living, life-giving Word of God has in your life. I'm wondering if you had to map it out on a page and prioritize it, you know, where it'd fall. Part of the mix, my friend. What God has given us in this book or in whatever form you embrace it now in this electronic age, these are not just empty words to you, these are your life. Can I say this? Belly up to the bar. You know what I'm saying? Come on. Every morning, pull that thing out and read a little bit. Maybe you could even do that in the evening. Pull it out and read a little bit. Maybe you could get up an hour earlier, maybe an hour and a half. Get an hour and a half earlier. You might find a donut here on Sunday morning. And then you get together with some people of God and you discover how good God's been to you in more time than we've got time to detail or talk about here. You get to interact around a little bit. I was thinking yesterday about this sermon and about several weeks ago, I think the beginning of the year. Remember talking about what small thing we could do that might make a difference? Wonder what small thing you could do that might make a difference. Wonder what difference even a chapter. I know what we do. I know what some of us do. We set big goals and then we don't reach them and so we give up on the whole thing. Hey, a verse a day would do you good. Some of you wouldn't miss your vitamin a day. You know, you won't leave the house without taking 6 pills. I'm going to be in so much trouble. I'm going to be in so much trouble. These are not just empty words. This is your life. This is your life. Fellowship with Jesus Christ, your Redeemer, and the person of the Holy Spirit who lives within you. As you read this, God can teach you, instruct you, show you things you wouldn't have seen any other way. It may not happen every day. You may read it 2 weeks ago and it may not understand why you read it until you get to today. Who knows? But if you didn't read it 2 weeks ago, you might be in trouble today when the Lord was going to use it. So what little thing even? What little thing could you? What could you let go of for 15 minutes in the morning so you had a few minutes with the Lord? What could you shut down an hour earlier on Saturday night so you could be at Bible U on Sunday morning? What could you change, adjust, shift so you could plug into a powerhouse where you could get a hold of some other people who are trying to get a hold of God too? That's what I need you to think about, consider, pray about, determine now to act on this week so that the Word of God has a chance to speak and live in us. You know what I'm saying? Come on, sing it. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like